It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I would say to you all that this is the time of year when, holy mackerel, phenologists could, you know, like go on vacation and come away without missing too many notes. There are a couple of things that typically happen in this time of year and things that we should start watching for. One of them is the nesting, the courtship, and then the nesting of great horned owls. And what you're likely to hear there is the great horned owl and his mate kind of calling back and forth to one another. And as they get more and more active, they'll gradually come together, mate, and begin to raise their young in February. So it seems awfully early, but there is an awful lot that needs to be taught to an owl in order to make them successful. And so the great horned owls are going to get an early start on that by nesting in February. And the young are remarkably adapted to extreme cold weather. They have huge layers of down. They're absolutely fluffy as can be. And they are able to keep themselves quite warm. And of course, mother is there and will spend she'll spend 24 hours on the nest if things are not good. If it's snowing and cold, she will keep her young secluded and covered and warm throughout the months of February and March. And at the same time, Papa will be out gathering rabbits and mice and whatever else he can grab, skunks, and hauling them back to the nest for her to eat. And that last one, skunks, they will be becoming active at the end of this month and the first part of February. Over the years, I have numerous records of skunks being smelled mostly, but some are actually witnessed, and they are going to be out and about come the end of January, first part of February. I would expect that our students down in Northfield will probably be the first ones to report smelling or seeing a skunk, but it can happen just about anywhere and just about any time as the males awake from their slumbers and go out in search of a female to mate with. And once they find those females and they do the mating, they will retreat to their own den and just stay out of the way. The male skunk has very little to do with the raising of the babies, and his part comes in February and early March. So get out there and check it out. You might be the first one in our neighborhood to smell a skunk. Other things, the canids, all of the wolves, coyotes, foxes, that whole crew are going to kind of get wound up into courtship in February, and there will be a lot of scat laid down on trails or driveways, any place where there's a likely spot. Oftentimes it's along a trail somewhere. Usually I find some in my driveway. I have a 3/10 of a mile long driveway through the woods, so it's not exactly, you know, like down to the blacktop road all concrete. It's kind of a long, windy trail through the woods, and the foxes and the coyotes and the wolves are sometimes known to drop a bit of scat there, sort of advertise their presence. And all of that's going to begin probably at the end of this month and first part of February. And then they will mate, and about 2 months later, the little pups will be born. And oddly enough, all of that somehow got worked out so that, gosh, just about the time those pups are born and start needing solid foods, nature will provide a lot of little solid food particles for them called little baby rabbits, little baby foxes, or little baby mice. It's just everybody is getting going and going to have their babies at the same time, and there's going to be a lot of food out there at the right time for many of the canids to get out and feed their young. So they've worked these details out over the millions of years that they've been at this, and they're getting pretty good at it. Around my house, this time of year, it's mostly birds, and in that crowd, there's, you know, the usual blue jays. I've got a flock of maybe a half a dozen blue jays. They're at the feeder every day. I've got a big flock of chickadees, probably a dozen or more, red-breasted and white-breasted nuthatches. I have all of the woodpeckers that you would expect, downy, hairy, red-bellied, and pileated. And there are, who else comes to my feeder? Every once in a while I get a goldfinch or several goldfinches, but I haven't had a steady flock of goldfinches. And I had a little conversation with Ed Dallas this morning before going on the air, and Ed was saying that at his house, the same thing is true, that the winter birds that normally come and eat thistle seed are not here. And my thistle feeder has been filled with thistle or Niger seed for quite some time, and periodically, like about once every 2 weeks, I dump it out, I dump it back into the bag and mix it up and dump it back into the feeder, but it doesn't seem to matter. Even when the goldfinches do come, they seem to be more interested in the black oil sunflower seeds than they are in the Niger seed, which is typically, in a typical winter, that feeder would be covered with pine siskins, and they would be fighting for a spot. It's got 6 spots on it where birds can sit and eat. And oftentimes there's a bird sitting on top of it. And then there's a bird sitting on top of the holder that's above that. And then there are birds sitting on the trees or on the feeders waiting for the birds that are on the thistle feeder to leave so that they can get in. And it's not there this year. Those birds are not around. And many of us are noticing this, the very same thing that the finches, the winter finches, and the pine grosbeaks, which are typically quite, well, I won't say common, but certainly a welcome addition to the winter, are not here either. The one thing that I really miss about them is that they had this wonderful whistled call that was a very clear, pure whistle. And they would sing for their supper, so to speak, and do it well. And I miss that. I miss not only their lovely red bodies, but their lovely, clear, whistled song. So perhaps later this winter, or perhaps I'll have to wait till next year. But I'm not wanting to give up on it, that's for sure. Still a few crows around. There was a time in the past when crows would migrate out of this area, but nowadays they seem, at least some of them seem to stay in the area. For some of you, there are probably some robins around that are going to stay in the area and make themselves the first ones to show up for the spring and get the best territories. We'll see how that works out for them. There was a picture on our season watch page of a moose in the Big Falls area, and that's always exciting to see one of those large animals out there doing its thing, and like to see more of those, but probably just going to have to be contented to know that there are still a few around. Lots of cottontail rabbits at my house, and you may have heard my next-door neighbor Marvin reported that he puts out a little bit of corn every day for the deer and for ruffed grouse and, well, for anybody that wants to come in and eat it. And it turns out that the crows, the ravens, the deer, the ruffed grouse, and for a long time this fall, wood ducks were coming to his backyard to enjoy the corn. And he said that recently he had watched as a rabbit sat in one spot and was eating, and obviously the rabbit had a fair amount of food there because it stayed in that spot for quite a while. And he said there was a grouse about 10 feet away, and it finally dawned on the grouse that the rabbit was eating something and that that he should maybe go over and check it out. So the grouse walked over to the rabbit and started pecking at it. And when Marvin told me this story, I was convinced that the rabbit would fight back, that the rabbit would leap up. I mean, if you've ever watched two rabbits fighting, they leap in the air, they kick with their hind legs, they've got claws like cats, they can do some damage if they want to. You wouldn't want to be holding on to a rabbit, you know, if it were a full-grown wild rabbit. It would do its best to get away from you and probably leave some marks in the process. But this rabbit gave up. As soon as the grouse pecked at it, the rabbit moved off. Marvin said moved off about 2 feet away and just sat there and watched the grouse then consume the corn that the rabbit had been hoarding under itself for its own purposes. But I was truly surprised. I thought that the rabbit would easily overpower the grouse, but the case was reversed. The grouse overpowered the rabbit. I saw a bald eagle this past week, and again, these are birds that now spend the entire winter up here. It used to be that they used to come and go down south about the middle of December, and then come back kind of late January, early February. But nowadays, with the roadkill and the deer population being what it is, a lot of them just go ahead and stay the winter, and this one has done just that. Somebody over by Park Rapids was lucky enough to run into a great gray owl. Normally in this area, if you want to see great gray owls, you're going to have to go over to the Saxzim Bog, which is north and it's east of Grand Rapids and north of Highway 2, but it is well worth your time to go there. Lots of winter birds there that you might not see anywhere else, including evening grosbeaks, boreal chickadees, and the great gray owl, as well as hawk owls and boreal owls, and it's just a really good spot for birding. Nationwide, it is well known. There are some northern shrikes in the area. I haven't seen one in the last couple of weeks, but they're still around. Goldfinches are here. Boy, I don't know if you were out on the 10th or not, but there was a full moon that night, and the wolf moon, and it was spectacular. It was just one of those nights where you wanted to grab your coat and either go for a walk or put on your cross-country skis and go for a ski. It was absolutely perfect. Just a lovely, lovely night with a full moon and plenty of snow to reflect that light around and really make the scenery quite bright. Shadows were everywhere. Ravens still in the area, of course. They're not going anywhere. Red-bellied woodpeckers. The red squirrels at my house are doing their best to fill their bellies on the seeds that the woodpeckers knock off of the feeder. And I've talked about this before, but I think the woodpeckers and the squirrels have a little pact going where the squirrel maybe doesn't bother the woodpecker's nest, and the woodpecker in exchange, when he gets on the feeder, when I get a hairy woodpecker on the feeder, he sweeps his head left and right, back and forth. And while he's doing that, seeds go spilling over the edge of the feeder and onto the ground. And then he finds the seed that he wants, and he picks it up, and off he flies, and he takes it away, and he chops it open, and he eats it. But the amazing thing there is that the woodpecker, for no explainable reason, just sweeps all of this seed off of the feeder and onto the ground, where the squirrel can then avail himself of it, which is one of those. I think it's a pact between the squirrels and the woodpeckers, although I'm sure that there are probably scientists out there who would say I'm crazy, but that's kind of like, you know, hardly news. Last note, 2 inches of snow last night. And if you're just getting up and looking outside, you got a little bit of snow shoveling to do. The good news is it's really finely grained and quite light, so not at all heavy. And that's our Phenology show for today. I want to thank you for tuning in and remind you to send along the observations that are happening in your neighborhood. As you can tell, it's one of those things that can be quite rewarding this time of year. And you may recall moments ago we were talking about Minnesotans who are crazy after hearing about the guy who joined five other guys and rode from the tip of South America to Antarctica. Not something I'd recommend, by the way. But it brought to mind several Minnesota people who are famous for their endeavors in cold weather and in perilous situations. And I had mentioned a fellow by the name of Rodney, whose name I couldn't remember. It turns out Rodney Jackson. And people who called said he liked to be called Action Jackson, but his friends called him Relaxin' Jackson. And Joe on Facebook said, Rodney Relaxin' Jackson, my old neighbor. And Rodney actually slept out overnight in an igloo on a night when it was minus 60 in Tower. And I think he was either in Tower or Embarrass. But that was Rodney, a man, truly a man of Minnesota upbringing. Rest in peace, Rodney.